Annamo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 24, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We will read a few verses beginning with verse 60. Karmanya pari meyani Manasapi Sureshvarai Sahasankarshanas Chakre Bhagavan Madhusudana. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with the cooperation of Sankarshan, Balaram, performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of even such personality as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. For instance, Krishna arranged the battle of Kurukshetra to kill many demons for the relief of the entire world. Text 61. Kalo janish yamana nam Dukha shoka tumonudam Anugrahaya bhaktanam Supunyam vyatanot yasha. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Text 62. Yasmin satkarna piyushe yashas tiyatha vare sakrit shotranjalir upasprishya dunote karma vasanam. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. Text 63 and 64. Bhojavrishnyandaka madhu shurasena disharhakai Shlaghani Yehita Shashvat Kurushrinjaya Pandubi Snigda Smitek Shito Darayar Vakyar Vikrama Lilaya Nrilokam Ramayam Asa Murcha Sarvanga Ramyaya. Assisted by the descendants of Bhoja, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Shurasena, Dasharha, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Pandu, Lord Krishna performed various activities. By his pleasing smiles, his affectionate behavior, his instructions, and his uncommon pastimes like raising Govardhan Hill, the Lord appearing in his transcendental body, pleased all of human society. Text 65. Yasyananam makara kundala charu karana brajat kapola subagam savilasaha sam nit yot savam nata tachipur jishabi pibantyo naryo naras chamudita kupita nimesh cha. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks. His eyes are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. So these are some very nice verses at the end of the ninth canto. This is the last chapter of the ninth canto, and these are the last verses of that chapter. Omigyanatamarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshumilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vanchakapatrarubhyas chakribhasindubhyeva chapatitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the last chapter of the ninth canto. And next, of course, we go on to the tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, famous tenth canto. Oh, look. Bandar. Or some monkeys, anyway. Hare Krishna. They're not as bold as in Vrindavan. Anyway, next, just after these verses, now there's a couple of verses more, but basically just after these verses is the 10th canto, famous 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is focusing exclusively on the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. Very outstanding and very beautiful, very wonderful pastimes. So here at the end of the last chapter of the 9th canto, some very nice introduction is given to these, to this 10th canto, leading us in step by step. So let us just read one of these verses again, and then we'll read the purport. Well, I particularly liked this one, verse 61. Kalo janishyamananam dukha shoka tumonudam anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam vyatanod yasha. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Page 62. Yasmin satkarna piyushe yashas tirtha vare sakrit shrutranjalir upasprishya dunote karma vasanam. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the devotees orally receive the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as enacted in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they immediately achieve a transcendental vision in which they are no longer interested in materialistic activities. Thus, they achieve freedom from the material world. For sense gratification, practically everyone is engaged in materialistic activities which prolong the process of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age, and disease. But the devotee, simply by hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and further relishing the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, becomes so pure that he no longer takes interest in materialistic activities. At the moment, devotees in the Western countries are being attracted by Krishna consciousness and becoming uninterested in materialistic activities. And therefore, people are trying to oppose this movement. But they cannot possibly check this movement or stop the activities of the devotees in Europe and America by their artificial impositions. Here the words Shrotranjaliya Upasprishya indicate that simply by hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord, the devotees become so pure that they are immediately immune to the contamination of materialistic fruitive activities. And yabilashita shunyam, materialistic activities are unnecessary for the soul, and therefore the devotees are freed from such activities. The devotees are situated in liberation, brahma bhuyaya kalpate, and therefore they cannot be called back to their material homes and materialistic activities. So these are very nice verses describing the glorious Supreme Personality of Godhead and how he's so wonderful. He's so wonderful, you just hear about him and you become purified. He's so pure. But you just hear about him and you become purified and immune from the material disease. Just earlier, we were down there on the banks of the ocean, and the people generally appeared to be engaged in material activity in one way or another. This is their enjoyment. It's Sunday. Sunday is their holiday. So, in order to enjoy, they come to the beach. Unfortunately, it was a little windy down there. But making the most of it. And what really just encapsulated the whole experience and the whole phenomenon for me was to see there were a few dogs here and there. And they were just wildly enthusiastic, just running back and forth through the water, just so excited about nothing that special, really, to be quite frank. Actually, as one who used to live in the sea, I can just assure anyone, if anyone has any doubts, it's not so much fun. It's much nicer to be in Krishna consciousness, and that is really a fact. So, here, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking so nicely. Kalo janishyamana nam dukha shoka tamo nudam anugrahaya bhakta nam. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, he's so kind. He's really so kind and so merciful that he appeared within this material world 5,000 years ago and gave himself, performed so many pastimes. On one hand, he killed so many demons. On the other hand, he saved his devotees and interacted in loving ways with his devotees. So really, it's all so very wonderful. Krishna's mercy, anugrahaya bhaktanam, his mercy to the devotees, kalo janishyamananam, and to help the conditioned souls in the Kali Yuga, Krishna appeared. Of course, we know that Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya with this specific mission in mind, just focusing entirely on delivering the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. But beyond that, Lord Krishna himself, 5,000 years ago, he also appeared to deliver or to give some mercy to us conditioned souls and us who are trying to be devotees, trying to become devotees in this Kali Yuga. It was very kind of him, very nice. He did not really have to do that for himself. It is not that Krishna is just waiting for Sunday when he can come down to South Beach, Addington Beach, and just get blown around a bit by the wind and so on and so forth. Watch out for the sharks. This is not Krishna's idea of fun. Krishna is there in Goloka Vrindavan, surrounded by so many loving devotees. They're all completely overwhelmed with love for him. They're all willing to do anything for him. Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Mother Yashoda is so anxious for the well-being of Lord Krishna. She's always concerned. She's always extremely concerned. Is Krishna all right? So, therefore, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that she will give her life 1,000 times just if there's one grain of dust on Krishna's face. I think we have seen sometimes mothers, doting mothers, check out the child's face. Is your face okay? And they clean up the face. Isn't it, mothers? I've seen that. It's okay. That's natural. Mother Yashoda, she also does that. She also does that. So, you're coming in the right line. But when she looks at Krishna's face to see, are you all right? Is everything okay? Do you need to be cleaned up? Straighten up anything? She's willing to give her life 1,000 times. If there's just one grain of dust or something like that there, something is just slightly out of place. What to speak of if Krishna really gets into trouble? Like, for example, if some howl comes, were you with us? I think you were with us. We went to see the howls. They're still there. The howls are still there at Nandagram. So Krishna, sometimes the howls would come, and how concerned would Mother Yashoda become? Oh, if she's willing to give her life 1,000 times if there's one grain of dust or sand on Krishna's face where it shouldn't be, then how concerned is she if some demon comes? And apparently, at least on the surface, there is some danger for Krishna. Just like when Aristasura came in the form of a gigantic bull, or Srila Prabhupada says, a male cow, in the form of a male cow. And he was gigantic. Clouds were forming over his back, even. He was so big. So, Aristasura came, and he was moving through Vrindavan, through Nandagram actually, moving through. So big, he was hardly able to squeeze between the houses on either side of the street, passing stool as he walked. But that was not auspicious cow dung. It was some other sort of stool, because he was not auspicious. So Mother Yashoda heard that Aristasura has come looking for Krishna, and she got extremely concerned. It's described there. She was just running back and forth, just bewildered. What will happen to Krishna? What can I do? Looking out the window, opening the door, looking outside, closing the door, running back in, seeing that Krishna was there and everything was okay, but in great anxiety. So Nanda Maharaj, of course, he's in a different mood, although he's also concerned, but he's more in the paternal mood, fatherly mood, of being the protector of the family. So Nanda Maharaj, he flexed his arms and told Mother Yashoda, "Don't worry, I'll take care of this demon." But Mother Yashoda just looked at him like, "I don't think you'll be able to." So then Krishna flexed his muscles and went out with Subal. Subal was leaning on Krishna's shoulder just casually. And Krishna came in front of Aristasura, and he made a funny sound by flapping his arm. You know that sound? Can you do that? Can someone demonstrate? Anyway, so in this way he just mocked Aristasura, that you think you're big and tough, but we don't care for you. Then Krishna caught Aristasura, threw him on the ground. And Krishna did a very wonderful thing. Krishna kicked him to death with his lotus feet, kicking, and kicking, until Aristasura looked like a wet rag. In other words, you could not tell who was this, what was this. Just some lump was there on the ground. But that was through Krishna kicking with his lotus feet. So, in one of these purports he actually, well, we can just read it here. Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord's activities of saving the devotees and killing the demons, Purutranaya Sadhanam Vinashachara Skritam, take place side by side. Krishna actually appears for the deliverance of the sadhus or bhaktas, but by killing the demons, he shows them mercy also. For anyone killed by Krishna is liberated. Whether the Lord kills or gives protection, he is kind to both the demons and the devotees. So Lord Krishna, just like we, sometimes we pray. We pray, for example, to the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Sri Guru Charana Padma. The lotus feet of the spiritual master, and we pray to the lotus feet of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says that you please place me as an atom, just as an atom of dust, not even the full grain, but just one atom of dust under your lotus feet, and that will be sufficient for me birth after birth. That's all. So the devotees are praying, Krishna, put your lotus foot on my head, or at least let one grain of dust from your lotus feet come on my head. Then my life will be perfect. But Arishtasura got kicked to death, kicked again and again. And even when he was dead, Krishna kept kicking more. So how much mercy did he get? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says about Kaliya, who of course was not killed by Krishna, but had a similar sort of experience, you could say, to Arishtasura, in that Krishna danced on the heads of Kaliya. And he danced just like he kicked Arishtasura very strongly. So his dancing, Krishna's dancing on the heads of Kaliya, that was not like some very dainty material ballet, Swan Lake. I don't know if you're familiar with these things. Margot Fontaine. No, it was like the dancing of Lord Shiva at the time of devastation. If you see that, what is that called? Tandava Nritya. Yes, the dancer stamps heavily on the ground. So Krishna was stamping on the heads of Kaliya. Krishna, after all, he is the summum bonum. He is everything. The whole universe is within him. All the universes are within Krishna. So he is no lightweight. So, if Krishna lands on your head, then you must know it. He makes quite an impact. So Krishna was dancing on the heads of Kaliya, smashing and smashing. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that in this way, we should understand that the mercy that Kaliya got was completely disproportionate in terms of what he may have deserved. He deserved a good punch in the nose or a good kick in the head or something, to be more extreme about it. But not that type of kick. That kick by Krishna again and again and again. Those same lotus feet that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are begging to just get a little glimpse of, or even one grain of dust from, let alone get that foot actually on their heads. So those same lotus feet were just countless times, practically, becomes merciful, actually, whether he gives or takes away. Srila Prabhupada said that we have two hands, but Krishna, well, actually, his father said, Krishna has eight hands. So if Krishna wants to take from us with his eight hands, how can we hold on to everything and stop him with our two hands? Can't really do that. But, on the other hand, if Krishna wants to give us with his eight hands, then how can we with our two hands hold it all? So, Krishna's always merciful. And when that mercy comes, it's actually an inundation, a great inundation of special mercy. But unfortunately, people, and even we, as aspiring devotees, sometimes we may have difficulty appreciating that. Of course, certain types of mercy are easy to understand as being mercy. When some nice thing happens by Krishna's arrangement, like if you're out on the book distribution marathon and someone just comes to you and says, "Oh, I've been looking for these books all day. Can I take all of them? Is it all right?" Sometimes these things happen, so then you know, oh, I'm getting some mercy here, some special mercy. But when, as sometimes happens, particularly when, anyway, sometimes happens, someone takes some books but they don't really understand what they are, and there may be some enthusiastic born-again Christian, then they realize what those books are, and then they come back and demand that you take the books back and give their money back, or they'll call the police. So then we may think, oh, no mercy, no mercy. But it's mercy. It's all mercy. Just like when Lord Chaitanya left, when he left home, he was there with his wife, second wife, Vishnupriya. And it was all very happy. She's the goddess of fortune. She was not some sort of problem case, like, for example, in the case of Srila Prabhupada, his wife was always opposing his efforts to be Krishna conscious. But it was an ideal situation there. Lord Chaitanya with Vishnupriya. She is Lakshmi, his eternal consort. But still he left one night. One night, one morning, she just woke up. He wasn't there. Just gone. So, of course, at first she thought, well, he may just have gone to the bathroom or something. So, not a big problem. She just went to see. No, it's not there. Maybe he went next door. No, not there. So then, becoming a little more concerned, a little more anxious, then searching all around, and Mother Sachi came also, Lord Chaitanya's mother, and then searching around the whole area, and then all around, wherever they could go, imploring people, "Did you see Nimai?" And eventually, they were just running madly here and there, trying to find him, but it became apparent he had gone, and they were not going to be able to find him. So eventually, they came to one place on the banks of the Ganges, and they couldn't go any further. So they just broke down, and they started calling out, "Nirdaya, Nirdaya, Nirdaya, no mercy, no mercy, no mercy." A addressing Lord Chaitanya. But actually, we understand this is great mercy. It's very great mercy. This is discussed in Brihadbhagavatamrita, part of which is due to be published any time, as very amazing, very wonderful, how Gopi Puranadana Prabhu has presented it. So, there are many discussions about mercy. Great mercy, greater mercy, the greatest mercy, even greater mercy, and what is the best mercy. So the conclusion is the greatest mercy is when the Lord puts the devotees in the position of separation. Then, of course, just like Mother Sachi and Vishnu Priya, they become apparently distraught. So, therefore, as they were saying, of course, it's just part of the pastime, Niyadoya, no mercy, where's the mercy? There's no mercy. But it's the greatest mercy because the devotee's attachment for the lotus feet of the Lord is just increased manyfold, dramatically increased by that very intense focus. Yes, so it's like that. The Lord is very merciful. He's merciful even to the demons. And what to speak of being merciful to the devotees? Whatever the Lord does is mercy, actually, to the devotees. But we have to develop the eyes and develop the understanding to be able to see and appreciate everything in that spirit. This is very important for advancing in Krishna consciousness. So, particularly here in these two verses, 61 and 62, there is such a nice description of how the Lord really gave His greatest mercy for people like us. He performed so many pastimes, and He recited so many, He gave so much important information, like in Bhagavad Gita, so that we, fallen conditioned souls, later on, after He disappeared, in this Kali Yuga, we could get the opportunity to connect up with Him and become attached to Him. And in this way, reawaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. This is very nice. And this is His special mercy. So this also we should try to appreciate. What is for us really the greatest mercy of the Lord, and what we should try to appreciate and develop our attachment for in regard to the Lord. Just like Lord Chaitanya says, Nityasiddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Noi Shravana Adi Shuddha Chitte Kare Udoi, that love of Krishna, that eternal perfection of love of Krishna is already within the heart, is eternally within the heart of every living entity. But it has to be drawn out. That is the thing. It will not come out of its own accord. We cannot force it out by some material means, but it will come out, it can come out, if we know the procedure. So what is that? Shravanadi Shuddhachitte Kareye Udoi. That dormant love for Krishna, it can rise within the heart, just like the sun rises in the morning. very early in the morning, normally when we get up, the sun has not begun to rise, so it's quite dark. But then gradually the sun begins to rise, and as it rises, bit by bit, some light comes until the full illumination is there and everything is there very nicely and completely. So, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadya Kabunoi, Shravanadi Shuddhachitte, Karaye Udoi. That dormant love for Krishna can rise within our hearts if we take up the process of devotional service, Shravanadi, beginning with hearing about Krishna. This we must try to cultivate some attachment and appreciation for hearing about Krishna. Yes. Krishna consciousness is not just some social process that we get together with our devotee friends and chat away about the goings-on and so on. But it's a process of cultivation, systematic process of sadhana, practice, to encourage that dormant love of Krishna to rise within the heart and to discourage all the material things, material attachments. But it begins by hearing about Krishna. So this practice, hearing about Krishna, this is something we should try to focus on. This is something we should try to cultivate. In Madhurya Kadambini, when Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about the different levels of devotees, and particularly the devotees who are around the level of nishta, becoming fixed up, actually, nicely situated. So when he talks about the devotees who are just approaching that stage, coming out of the stage of anatha nivritti, where there are so many difficulties and so many obstacles, so Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that you can ascertain the devotees' relative levels of advancement, or how close they are coming to nishta, or even if they are on the level of being steady in Krishna consciousness. You can tell that by how much they are or aren't attached to hearing about Krishna, hearing and chanting about Krishna. Yes, not so much about how much they are or aren't attached to prasadam, because that's also a good sign. If you don't like prasadam, that's a very bad sign. Some people I've seen, like really kind of not, outwardly at least, not very pious and nice, took somehow some prasadam and became sick. Not a good sign. True. It's true. So, how much we are attached to hearing and chanting about Krishna? This is the test. How much on one hand we're attached or not attached to material sense gratification and material life, and on the other hand, how much that taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna is rising within the heart. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do like this, like we're doing now, hearing and chanting every day. Every day. Prabhupada wanted us to read all his books, the end of the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada says any devotee who does not read all his books. And he mentions Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, those books particularly. Prabhupada says, eventually they may end up just eating and sleeping and drift away from Krishna consciousness. So we don't want to be like that. So we should cultivate Krishna consciousness, take it as a process, not just a social process, but a process of sadhana, cultivation, spiritual cultivation, based first and foremost on hearing and chanting. If you hear and chant nicely, well, first of all, if you hear nicely, you'll be able to chant nicely. And if you both hear and chant nicely, you'll remember nicely. And if you hear and chant and remember nicely, you'll be inspired to serve nicely. And even particularly, you'll be inspired to serve by glorifying very nicely. Having heard how wonderful Krishna is, how beautiful Krishna is, how wonderful it is to be connected with Krishna, and like this. So then we can engage in serving the Lord creatively and constructively in so many ways, particularly giving other people Krishna consciousness. So this is Krishna's mission. This is, at least in regards to us, this is why he appeared. In order to give us something to hear and chant about. Him. Yeah. Just like in other traditions, like the Islamic tradition, you're not allowed to conceive of God as a person. No form. If you depict God as having a form, then you are big blasphemer. Then you become haram. Haram means contaminated. Ramanujacharya Prabhu told us of one time when he met Amadidat and spoke with him. And he told him, you know, I really appreciated that book you did about Christianity. It helped me to give up some of my own attachments for it and get more into Krishna consciousness. So thank you. And Amadira got a little, wasn't so happy. And then Ramanuja told him about that passage in Chaitanya Charitamrita where I think it's Haridas Thakur is saying that one, he's talking about even the indirect chanting, or not pure chanting. It's not offensive, but it's just not, it's somewhere in between sort of chanting to indicate something else. It's a form of what is called namabhas, or that called the clearing stage of chanting, not pure chanting. So there Haridas Thakur, I think, tells Lord Chaitanya that indirect chanting even of the holy names is so effective that a person can be liberated just by that. And he tells the story of one Muslim who's being gored to death by some wild boar. Big, wild pig with big tusks and so on was killing him. And of course, as we know, the Muslims take pigs to be impure, which of course is true. But it's just a particular thing for them. So this Muslim being killed in this most unfortunate way, he's calling out, haram, haram, haram! Contaminated! Abominable! Because he was being killed by the pig. So, Haridas Thakur says, or maybe it's Lord Chaitanya, but I think it's Haridas, says he was liberated. So Ramanujacharya told Amadida this story. And he said, so we think it's very nice, this use of the word haram. And Amadida said, well, we don't see it that way. But it's so wonderful, hearing and chanting about Krishna. It is so potent, so powerful. Even if it's done in an indirect way or not purely to indicate something else or even in a mocking way. Just like Lord Chaitanya, as he was manifesting his Krishna consciousness in his mid-teens or so. So he was going everywhere, he was just chanting and chanting, and it's always in ecstasy, chanting. So some of the local children, being a bit mischievous, they sort of took him to be the Hare Krishna, the local Hare Krishna wala. So they would come up to him and go, Hare, like in a mocking way, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Making fun of him. And Lord Chaitanya, he thought what to do. Should I tell them, no, you don't chant like that. You chant nicely, respectfully. But he understood that these children, they're getting benefit from this. And if I tell them off and somehow stop them, they'll just stop. Altogether they'll stop, and they will cease to get more benefit. So in order to get them to chant more and get them really into it, Lord Chaitanya acted in a different way. He blocked his ears, said, no, no. And then they got more fired up. Yes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Yes, a mocking way. And they were just dancing around him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he was going, no, no, don't do that. So you see, he took it as being highly beneficial for them that he even did like that. Yes, so hearing and chanting, so important. First of all, hearing. Shravan Adi. First, you hear. That is the first step. And then comes chanting. And then comes remembering. And then will come service. But don't think. We shouldn't think. But if I don't hear and chant nicely, that I think I will just serve more. That will be what I will do. I will not hear and chant so much. There's that story, it's in the Leelamrita actually, of the one devotee who was arguing with Srila Prabhupada that I'm not into chanting. And you said all service is absolute. So I'm not into chanting and hearing. I'll just work. I'll clean the kitchen or something. That's what I'm into. I'm just into doing something. Practical service. And you said it's equal. All service is equal. So, what's wrong? So the Prabhupada was trying to reason with him how, actually, hearing and chanting is really of particular importance. But the devotee was just going on arguing back. In the end, Srila Prabhupada said that Prabhupada was trying to convince him. The devotee was saying, why should I chant 16 rounds? Why 16 rounds? Prabhupada said, you should chant 16 rounds because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds. And he said, I give you permission. You can eat and sleep all day as long as you chant 16 rounds. So it's really of great importance, and we should not think that we can put it aside or minimize it and have it as anything other than the foundation of our spiritual lives, actually. And if we don't, sometimes Srila Prabhupada said that the service that you do during the day, it will reflect the quality of your chanting from the beginning of the day. So if you just mumbling around and distracted and so on like that, Srimad Bhagavatam class is there but your mind is not there, then during the day you may try to get into your service, but there will be some, on that foundational level, there'll be some weakness and contamination there. So this is very important. to give proper attention to hearing about Krishna, and then chanting and hearing about Krishna like this. And this is why Krishna has appeared in regard, in relation to ourselves, to give us something to hear and chant about, to give us his instructions, to give us his pastimes, to give us his qualities, so we can hear and chant about these things and remember these things, and this way become inspired to actually move forward and to become able to actually move forward in Krishna consciousness. Yes. Oftentimes if devotees don't advance and they just stay sort of caught somewhere in some preliminary stage of Krishna consciousness, in many cases it's because they haven't been hearing and chanting nicely. Just like Prabhupada said, there were those devotees, they wouldn't follow the GBC, but they said they'd follow Prabhupada. You all know that story. And they said, oh, we'll do whatever you say, Prabhupada. No problem, but not these GBCs. Prabhupada said, oh, you'll do what I say? Yes, yes, of course. We want to, love to. Prabhupada said, all right, then just follow these GBCs. So, but they wouldn't do it. And some days later, this is in Hawaii, some days later Prabhupada was walking on the beach with some devotees, and one devotee said that, you told those devotees to do like that, but we can see they're not. Isn't that the third offense? Disobeying the spiritual master? Prabhupada said yes. And the devotee said, but they're still chanting. They had their own center. They're doing Mangal Arati and chanting their rounds and so on. But they're disobeying your order. So, won't that, will they still go back to Godhead? Prabhupada said, well, maybe after 400 lifetimes. But if we follow the process properly, Prabhupada made it very clear, we can go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime. So, but it begins, Shravan Adi, begins with hearing and chanting about Krishna. So let us try to cultivate that. Cultivate our hearing and chanting. And appreciate how Krishna has given us this as his particular mercy upon us. Yeah. You know, killing Putana, Jarasandha, Kamsa, that was for those people 5,000 years ago. But now, for us, he's given us all these different subject matters for hearing about and chanting and hearing about. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? Hare Krishna. Yes. Can or cannot?
Cannot.
Mm-hmm. Guva Mangal Thakur. See, the thing is, you know, sometimes you find some apparently contradictory statements about a particular subject. Not many, but there are a few where in certain different situations, different and apparently contradicting things are said by Prabhupada or even by Krishna. But it's not really a contradiction. You see, the thing is that in one sense, Nothing is impossible. Nothing. One devotee asked Prabhupada that if Krishna wanted to, could he destroy a soul?